Good morning on this Tuesday, March 24th, 2020, where instead of finding ourselves gathering together as we usually do in the Center for the Arts, most of us are home, like I am. And hopefully, in the middle of these challenging changes, we're discovering the gracious, perfect, redeeming, steadfast newness of the Lord. And hopefully, we're staying connected. In light of staying connected, we're creating a weekly video podcast to be released each Tuesday morning, our regular chapel meeting times. And during these video podcasts, we will meet new friends of Bellhaven that you might not be familiar with. We will hear new things from our students, our faculty, our staff, our alumni. And you will hear a teaching by Dr. Parrott, our president. In fact, let's go to Roger's study right now and listen to the beginning of that message.
Well, I never thought we'd have chapel this way. It's hard to believe. I wanted to be with you. So looking forward to the end of semester, and you were too. This is going to be a great time of the year for us with all the performances and the athletics and celebrations for our seniors and commencement and all that stuff. And now our whole world has changed. And so we at least can be together this way in chapel. It's not the same as hearing you sing and being with you, but I just want you to know how much I've been praying for you, how deeply concerned I've been about you, just overwhelmed with desire to see how we can help you and help all of us to get through this semester with good success, hearing good stories from the first day of class. And so hopefully we're off to a good start. It's going to be very different from what we expected, but we're going to trust God in it, that God will use it in a wonderful way for us. So in these chapels, I wanted to talk about something that might be helpful to us as we're dealing with this enormous level of fear that's gripped our world. And, you know, there are a lot of people talking in churches, and maybe you were on your online church this week or heard other messages about fear or seen things about fear, and I appreciate all that. Unfortunately, I think there are some who are not understanding the true biblical foundation of fear. They say, just trust in the Lord and don't fear. It's not that way. In fact, God tells us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And if you're not using your mind to love God, you're not loving God properly. And God has given us minds to understand the complexity of this coronavirus that's gripping our world. You know, in years past, many years ago, when science did not understand it, they would have called it a plague. And we've seen that many times through history. They wouldn't have understood why it was happening or how to avoid it. We have all those advantages right now. So trusting God is not a matter of ignoring the coronavirus. Trusting God is trusting God, but doing the things we can to be safe and careful. You know, I trust God, but I wear my seatbelt when I drive, and I trust God, but I lock my door at night, and I trust God, but I use smoke detectors in my house, and I trust God, but I take my medicines on time, and I trust God, and that's why I'm doing everything I can to flatten this curve of the coronavirus and to encourage social distancing, and I hope you will too. So in chapel, I don't want to focus on that issue, because I think it's being covered in a lot of other places. What I want to talk about is, what do we do during a time of great fear? When fear overwhelms us, how can we respond to that? You know, fear creates energy, and that energy has to be let out someplace. And so often in fear, it gets let out in frustration. It gets let out in people lashing out. It gets let out in selfishness. We see that with people hoarding right now and buying too much of what they don't need. That's selfishness. So we see people just wanting to ignore the threat, saying, oh, it's not going to bother me. I'm going to do what I want. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. That's pure selfishness, nothing else. So what do we need to do in fear?
Before we hear Dr. Parrott's answer to the question, what do we need to do in fear, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. His name is Buddy Green. I have no doubt that you're familiar with his song, Mary, Did You Know? It's a Christmas classic. But I've asked him to sing a different song. It's called Grace for the Moment. It's one of my favorites, and he recorded it just yesterday for this video podcast. So let's go to Buddy's living room Take a listen.
Grace for the moment, all that I need. Grace for the moment, and faith to receive the promises given. Fret over outcomes that I cannot see. It's for certain I'll not have the peace meant for me. But when with thanksgiving I just look to Him, He will answer me time and again. All the promises given to those who believe in grace for the moment, all that I need. And if I understand faith, well, it's not counting on me, no, is the hope and assurance of what I can't see. It's the daily relying on Jesus to be providing more grace faithfully, further proving His great love for me. All the promises given to those who believe in grace for the moment. Grace for the moment. All that I
Yesterday, I called Henry Nelson, who is currently a theater major at Belhaven. I asked him how he was doing, and he said, "I'm doing great. I'm loving these online classes. This is going to be the best semester." Then I asked him if he would read the scripture passage for today. It's the story Jesus told when an expert in religious law stood up to test him by asking him this question. "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? And how do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," said Jesus. "Do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" To answer that question, Jesus told this story.
A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes. Now go and do the same."
Now back to Dr. Parrott's teaching, where he just asked the question, what do we need to do in fear?
What we need to do in a time of fear is we need to find ways to help other people. That's the godly response to fear. And that's what I want to talk about. And so I want to share that with you. And I've got a little PowerPoint here, hopefully, that will come up on the screen. If I did things right, about the parable of the Good Samaritan from Luke chapter 10 that you heard a few moments ago. Luke chapter 10, the parable of the Good Samaritan, is a God-honoring response to fear. It talks about a lot of different levels of fear. And you're going to see this in the weeks ahead, because I'm going to slowly unpack this and we'll look at it in a lot of different ways. And each of these are only going to be about 10 minutes long. So it's not like a regular chapel. But it talks about the fear for our personal safety. This parable talks about the fear that comes out of racism, the fear that comes out of people fearful for their stature and their position in life, the fear of money, the fear about our future. It talks about all these kinds of fears. And so that's what we're going to look at, because in the middle of this story about enormous fear, the Good Samaritan was focused on helping someone. And that's where we should be too. And so scripture to begin with, if I can advance this, let me see if I can hit the right button. There we go. It says a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. First verse there of the parable. Now, there are 5 things I want you to know about this trip from Jerusalem to Jericho in order to get the context for how the Good Samaritan was helping someone when he was in a place of great fear, but somebody else was in a place of great need. So this trip from Jerusalem to Jericho is about 18 miles. So it's about a little bit longer than walking I-20 from Belhaven to Mississippi College. That kind of gives you a feel for the distance. So it's somewhat short, but at the same time, that's a long way. And that's kind of how this coronavirus has been. It's really a fairly short trip. It's only been 3 weeks or so since we've been in this, really 2 for the tighter grip. But boy, it seems like a long time. We're already exhausted. We're already overwhelmed. And we've just barely begun. And that's the context of where the Good Samaritan was. He was on a fairly short road, but it felt like it had been going an awfully long time by the time that he got to the person in need. And that's the first thing we need to understand, that about this Good Samaritan. He was walking the kind of road we're walking right now, where it is short, but it feels very long. The second thing we see about this road, it's a road of dramatic change. It starts in the lushness of Jerusalem. In fact, you pick up the road in the Mount of Olives, where Jesus went when he went to pray, and then his disciples came and betrayed him. A very beautiful, lush place. You start the road there, and then it goes down about 2,500 feet down to Jericho. And of course, in Jericho, there's really nothing other than there was a springs there, and that's why there was a city there, because of the springs, because it really was a desert. And so it starts with the trees around Jerusalem and the vegetation and the lushness, and it grows down into scrub brush and eventually just into pure desert. And that's kind of where we've been. In 3 weeks, we have gone with coronavirus from everything was great, looking forward to our softball team off to win a national championship. We were looking forward to spring football practice. We were looking forward to Pirates of Penzance, and dance concerts and music concerts and lots of great things, a graduation. And now we feel like we're in the desert and it's gone and changed that dramatically that fast. Well, that's what the Good Samaritan found in his journey. The third thing we see about this trip is it's all going downhill and going downhill quickly. You know, when you're going downhill, you feel unknown of what's ahead because you can't see very far looking down. When you're looking up, you can get a little better perspective. When you're looking down, you can't really see that. And when you're going down physically, you're looking down because you're afraid you're going to fall. So you're looking at your feet. You're not looking around to see what's happening around you or what else danger could come. You're looking at your next step. And that's really what we've been doing in coronavirus. And then when you're going down, you're not sure how far it is to the bottom. And though that, again, is just what the Good Samaritan faced and what we're facing in coronavirus. It's unknown what's ahead. We're looking down at the small steps we can do. We're not looking at the bigger picture yet, and we're not sure where the bottom is. That's where it was. There's more unknown than known about the coronavirus in our future, and we're looking down because that's what going down requires. But, of course, the scripture tells us, I'll lift my eyes up to the hills. And that's where my help comes from. It's hard to look up right now because we're having to focus on these steps downward, just as the Good Samaritan did when he didn't know exactly how far it was down to the bottom. You know, we are, if there's any fortunateness in this spread of the coronavirus for Bellhaven, it's that we have been studying this for many weeks because our students in China have been facing this since December and January. And we've been working with them during all that time to do how to deal with the coronavirus. We have 800 students studying online in China. And so I've been watching the news from China. I've been watching the news very carefully from South Korea, Italy, Spain. That's where you can tell where the future's coming to us, not from the American news. And so, you know, and now right now, if you want to know where it's coming, look ahead, look to Seattle, look to New York, look to New Orleans. That's what's coming to us. Looking ahead like that, we can see in the coronavirus, the same thing is true in our Christian life. When we're facing difficulties, when we're going down, when we feel like all we can do is focus on the next step and before us and we don't know what that future looks like, that's the time to look to people who've been down that path before. Look to those Christian friends who have had the experience to understand what this kind of journey can be like as we're headed down, and they can be the guide map just as these other countries have been the guide map for Korea for us. And then the fourth thing I see about this trip down is that it's exhausting going down. Going down is much harder than coming up. I had the privilege in November of being in Beijing for our graduation of our Chinese students. And while we were there, we went to see the Great Wall. I'd never seen it before. And to walk the Great Wall, which was quite a hike. I didn't expect it. But we started down at that platform you see at the bottom of this picture to go up to what's called the Stairway of Heaven, which is all these steps up. It goes even farther than this picture shows. And it was absolutely overwhelmingly exhausting. I was so thankful my daughter was with me on this trip. And Madison and I were down at that place where we were looking up and we were headed up. And there were so many times I wanted to quit. And every time I wanted to quit, I'd look over at her and I felt like I've got to keep going for her. Well, I found out later she was thinking the same thing about me, that she had to keep going for me. But I knew if we didn't do it then, we were never going to do it because it was a hard, hard trip up. But you know what? The trip down was even tougher. And in fact, I hurt my knee coming down from the pressure on it. And my physical therapist says, it's because you're using muscles you don't normally use. And that's what the coronavirus is doing to us in this downward path we're on right now. We're using muscles we don't normally use. We're using emotional muscles we don't normally use. We're using intellectual muscles. We're using spiritual muscles we don't normally use going down. And that's what this trip down, why it's so exhausting, why so quickly we're out of breath from going down, because we're using the things we don't normally do in order to cope with this. And then the fifth thing I see about this trip was that it was just dangerous. It was dangerous all the way through, but especially where the Good Samaritan helped the Jewish man who'd been attacked, there's a place there they call the Ascent of Blood. And there are red rocks there, and that's part of why they call it the Sin of Blood. But it really was because so often people were attacked and killed and robbed there in that place. And he knew that he was headed into that. He knew what that was all about. And in the same way, we are on a very dangerous trip. This coronavirus is extremely dangerous, and we don't know what the ramifications are, not only short-term, but long-term. And that's a whole lot like this trip of the Good Samaritan. And that's why in these weeks, I want to unpack the story of the Good Samaritan to us, because he was taking a trip just like we are taking with coronavirus. So how did he help others? That's what we want to look at the weeks ahead. I want to give you just one major point to focus on today before we finish up. And that's this, that the God-honoring response to fear is to protect yourself so you'll be ready to help others. That's the first thing we see about the Good Samaritan. He was doing the things to protect himself. He was on the same road where the bandits attacked and nearly killed this Jewish man. He knew those dangers were there. He was going down. He was all the things that we just talked about. He'd been through all of that, but he knew he had to protect himself or he'd never be able to help others. He didn't get attacked because he took the right precautions. And you and I need to do the same thing. Take the cautions. Well, you may feel like, well, I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm not going to get coronavirus. And if I do, it won't be severe. And you know what? That's probably true. But what about your grandmother? What about some of our faculty and staff who are older, have pre-existing conditions, or other people you know? What about some of those who have young children at home or brand new babies? They're scared to death. You need to do your part to protect others by taking care of yourself and staying that distance that we've suggested by the CDC. Start there. Secondly, stay healthy. Do the things that keep you healthy during this time. Focus on what matters. You know, this is not a time for just binge watching Netflix. If that's your plan for this, you're going to miss one of the most important times of your life. This is a time to focus on what matters with you and your family and your walk with God and go deep with God during this time. And then know most importantly that God loves you and loves your family more than you could possibly know. I have been so concerned for you. I have prayed for you. I've cried for you. I've worried about you. I'm spending as much energy as I can to try to protect you and to prepare this university so that we can serve you. And as I'm exhausted from all that, I realize that's tiny compared to how much God is working on your behalf, how much God is concerned about you, how much God is worried about you. What I can do is so small compared to what he can do. I love you, but he loves you so many more times because that's who God is. He loves us more than we could ever imagine. And God loves you, and he will walk with you during this. And so we're going to close with our regular benediction. You may be there by yourself. You can say it out loud if you're by yourself. If you're in a group, you can do that too, because it's never been more true. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. I pray that God will be with you during this important time. May God richly bless you. Be safe.